fight for us once again. So shall thy saints and martyrs raise a mighty chorus to thy praise forevermore. Amen.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel from Luke. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, anxiety, oh my goodness, the sleepless nights, the panic attacks, racing heartbeats, can't focus. So our lives can be summed up with one word. What would that word be? Anxiety. Americans spend millions of dollars on sleep, stomach, and blood pressure disorders. Anti-anxiety medications are the leading prescription drugs in this country. So it's an understatement to say that we live in an anxious society. We are extremely anxious people, and it's not good, physically speaking, that is. And then, of course, there is the spiritual anxiety. And Jesus speaks of this today. And it's time that we listen to him so that we are repented from our idols, and then faith only in Jesus, and then led in holy living according to his word. Jesus knows what's best for us, and he gives what is best for all of us. So in the text, Jesus says, are you listening? He said, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor be anxious about your body, what you will wear. Why? Because Jesus says life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing that you wear. Really? Yes. Life is more than food. The body is indeed more than clothing. But I guess, obviously, Jesus, he didn't know about our current economy, did he? Doesn't Jesus know how much it costs to fill up my SUV? And how much it costs me at the grocery store, or at Costco, or Sam's? Or what it now costs me to clothe and shoe my kids for school? Doesn't he know that? Yeah, he knows these things. He knows. And today, he tells you then to think about who? To think about the ravens, the birds. Sure. Like the ravens, he says. Or let's throw this in. How about even hummingbirds? Let's throw that in for fun, shall we? Yeah, that's the ticket. Ruby-throated hummingbirds. I remember when I would visit Jeannie Reinke, that she would always have these hummingbirds buzzing around in her backyard, you know, just north of the church. And what did they do? They feasted on all her flowers, they bathed in her fountain, and they perched on branches of her peach trees. Those busy little birds didn't plant the flowers, nor did they tend the flowers. They just found them in her backyard, and they took full advantage. The hummingbirds didn't set up the water fountain. They didn't clean it. They didn't change the water. They didn't plant the flowers. However, they bathed and they drank from the fountain and they took the nectar from the flowers every day. They worked hard, they buzzing here and there in almost continual flight, but they didn't provide the flowers and the water that kept them alive. Did you hear what I said? They didn't provide the flowers and the water that kept them alive. Jeannie Reinke did that, and so do you. We are the hands of God for them, and one of the ways God provides for them is through us. Through the trees and flowers that we plant, and through the water fountains that we set up. And then Jesus tells you to consider the lilies of the field. Delicately beautiful they are. Do the lilies punch the time clock? Do they spin cotton and other fabrics to make clothes? Of course not. And yet they are decked out with greater beauty and splendor than King Solomon ever was, in his finest royal robes. So this all works in a plantish sort of way. Their roots reach deep into the soil, their leaves turn upward to the sun. And yet the lilies wait in what appears to be a prayerful stillness, always open to the soil and to the sun. Always waiting, are you listening? Always waiting to receive nutrients and energies from both. Lilies, on their own, cannot pick up their roots and move to a better climate. They can only be still and soak in what the soil and the sun provide. They, like the birds, listen carefully, they, like the birds, are a picture of F-A-I-T-H before God. Passive receptivity, simply given to. And so then consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. They're not anxious about anything, always simply ready to be given to receive, to be cared for. And so I ask all of you here today, does all your anxiety or worry put food on the table? Does it clothe you and your children, all this anxiety? Can your anxiety or worry lengthen your life one moment? I'll tell you what it does, most likely. It shortens your life. It makes a heart attack or a stroke even more likely. That's what my doctor says. All your anxiety, all of it does, is give you what? Sleepless nights, anxious days, indigestion, and what else? Shouting matches. So, brothers and sisters, if God takes care of the ravens or the hummingbirds, if he clothes the lilies and the grass, why are you, his dear children, and his foremost of creatures, made in his image, why are you so anxious? Why in the world are you so worried about things? Why do you fret and why do you fuss so much about your food, your drink, your clothes, your shoes? Oh, you of little faith. The question contains the answer. The diagnosis is also the question. Why all the anxiety and worry? Jesus nails it. He nails it. What did he say? Little what? F-A-I-T-H. Anxiety reveals the puniness of our faith and the enormity of our unbelief. It reveals the smallness of our faith in Jesus and our bigger faith in false gods and idols. I'm reminded then in the New Testament of the time when the disciples panicked in the storm and woke Jesus up as he was sleeping in the back of the boat. Do you remember that? Remember what they said to Jesus? Don't you care that we're going to die? Do you remember that? Jesus called them little faith ones. It reminds me also of the time when Peter, walking on the water, took his eyes off of Jesus and then immediately cried out in panic as he began to sink. Jesus said to him, do you remember what he said? Why did you doubt, oh you little faith? We all say we trust Jesus with the big things. Forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, eternal life, and salvation. But the little things, food, clothes, why don't we trust him with these? Why are we so anxious? What's the answer? Little faith. So Jesus tells us to consider the birds and the plants because they naturally do what we don't. And what's that? The birds and the plants, they trust their creator. They live, they move, and they have their existence in the same God, that same creative word, the same Jesus as we do. But our sinful self-centeredness, our inner thoughts and feelings betray us and tell us that we are the masters of our destinies and the captains of our ships. We tell ourselves that we shape our own identity. Oh, we're just awash in this nonsense. And that we're solely responsible not only for just our livelihood, but we are responsible even for our own existence. Stop and think. Did you punch the time clock to be conceived and to be born? I'm going to ask that again. Did you punch the time clock to be conceived and to be born? Do you really work hard at dying? What about all that time in between your birth and death? Our anxieties are the fruit of our desire to be gods in place of who? Jesus. Because idolatry breeds what? Idolatry breeds what? Anxiety. And this calls for repentance. The life of the baptized believer is a life of repentance. That doesn't mean stop being anxious, don't worry, be happy. Unfortunately, when Pastor Coleman preaches repentance, you hear it in terms of stop sinning. Stop doing what you're doing and do something better. However, when you focus on not sinning, what happens? You sin more. When you focus your thoughts on not being anxious and try to talk yourself out of it, you become anxious over not being anxious. Another spin cycle of the mind and the heart. Repentance, in its biblical sense, is metanoia, a change of mind. Repentance in the Bible means thinking of things in a different way. It means seeing things in a new light. It means seeing things from a different perspective. Metanoia, repentance, is recognizing a reality that you failed to notice. It is to rethink with the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, to will with the heart of Christ, to see things in the light of Christ through faith eyes, to let go of your life, to be still, and to have someone else hold your life. Who's that? Jesus, as he already Good Friday-ly does. Repentance is to come to the recognition that you are dead to yourself, dead to sin and death, dead to the cares of this world, and you are alive to God the Father through Jesus Christ in an overflowing abundance in life. Repentance is a reevaluation of your value to God the Father. You see, if God the Father values the birds and the grass of the field, of how much greater value are you? Blood-bought, Good Friday blood-bought children of God. If God knows the number of the hairs on your head, some have more, some have less. But if he knows the number of the hairs on your head and the days of your life before one of them comes to be, don't you think he cares then about the bread on your table, the clothes on your back, and the shoes on your feet? If God the Father feeds you with the capital B bread of capital L life, Jesus his Son, if he clothes you with the righteousness of Jesus his Son, don't you think that he cares about what you will eat and what you will wear? So, brothers and sisters, Jesus tells you then to seek the kingdom of God. You don't have to chase after it, and you certainly don't have to build the kingdom of God. It's already here and near for you to find. Seek, and you will surely find it here in the divine service of Jesus, in his word, and in his supper. That's why you're here. Because here, King Jesus is at work in the divine service, giving the gifts of his kingdom life. And we, listen carefully now, we, like the hummingbirds and the lilies, on the receiving end of his gracious giving. The kingdom sought is the kingdom found. Here, your day, your week, your life is oriented to its center, Jesus. This is why Paul wrote these words in the New Testament, and I conclude with them. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4. In the name of Jesus. Amen.